The climate crisis has again been at the forefront of speeches by Pacific Islands leaders at the UN General Assembly this year. At a time when the world is preoccupied with the pandemic, island states warn of the danger of losing focus on climate. Johnny Blades reports.
Pacific leaders spoke with renewed urgency after the recent damning report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which found impacts are widespread, rapid, and intensifying. Citing severe typhoons, sea level rise and droughts experienced by his country, Palau's President Sirangel Whips Jr. urged the global community to confront the climate crisis with the urgency it showed in the pandemic response.
In April of this year, Palau, which historically is outside the typhoon belt, was hit by Typhoon Surigai, our third typhoon since 2012, which damaged 20% of our homes, destroyed major infrastructure, including our aquaculture facilities. It also destroyed millions of dollars of crops and wreaked significant havoc on our reefs and corals, and consequently undermining our food security. This is particularly notable because Palau and other SIDS depend on imported highly processed food products due to the lack of economies of scale as a result of our small population, resulting in a significant increases in our NCDs among our people. And while there is potential for increased local production, our efforts are hampered by the adverse impact of climate change, including sea level rise, typhoons, droughts, and other stress on marine and terrestrial ecosystems. The gradual destruction of climate change has allowed us to be complacent and respond mostly by kicking the can down the road. However, ladies and gentlemen, the IPCC report has indicated that we are running out of time. Simply put, we must act now to ensure our children inherit a healthy and reliable future. We need to act now before further irreparable damage is made to our planet. As a SIDS nation, we stand here as one of the states most vulnerable to climate change, and we urge fast and comprehensive multilateral action.
Samoa's new Prime Minister, Whiamea Naomi Mataafa, told the General Assembly there was no greater challenge facing the global community than climate change, including its effects on ocean health.
The ocean surrounds, protects, and provides for us ocean states. It is core to our Pacific way of life, tied explicitly to our need for climate actions in our custodianship of the world's oceans. As the Blue Pacific continent, our collective priority is to maintain the health of the ocean as well as the sustainable management of our vast and biodiverse ocean. A new 2050 strategy for the Blue Pacific continent will reinforce the prioritization of ocean and climate change considerations in all policies and plans. A shared ocean means shared responsibility and benefits for our environment, economies, and communities. Our marine protection goals in our first ocean strategy are aligned to the Blue Leaders 30 by 30 campaign calling for protecting 30% of our global ocean by 2030. We welcome the complementarity of such initiatives. The Pacific Ocean hosts a remarkable array of biodiversity. With our Blue Pacific family, Samoa continues to prioritize both marine and terrestrial ecosystems restoration.
Her call for countries to work together more on climate action was echoed by Fiji's Frank Bainimarama, who challenged all developed countries to follow Fiji's lead in legislating a net zero carbon emissions target.
In 1 month, Excellencies, we meet in Scotland for a hugely consequential COP. The Pacific's mission in Glasgow is clear. We must keep the 1.5 target alive. This demands drastic emissions cuts by 2030 that put large nations on a path towards net zero emissions before 2050. Leaders who cannot summon the courage to unveil these commitments and policy packages at COP26 should not bother booking a flight to Glasgow. Instead, they and the self-interest they stand for should face consequences that match the severity of what they are unleashing on our planet. We do not tolerate war between our member states. So how can we tolerate war waged against the planet, on the life it sustains, and on future generations. That is the firm red line Pacific nations will draw in Glasgow. We are demanding net zero emissions and accepting zero excuses. And Excellencies, at COP26, the Global North must finally deliver on $100 billion per year in climate finance and agree to a pathway to increase financing commitments to at least $750 billion per year from 2025 forward. If we can spend trillions on missiles, drones, and nuclear submarines, we can fund climate action. It is criminal that vulnerable Pacific small island developing states can access a mere 0.05% of the climate finance currently available to protect ourselves from an existential crisis we did not cause. Mr. President, these are the challenges we face at this UNGA and at COP26. We must find the courage to face them squarely. The consequences of not doing so are simply unthinkable.
Perhaps the most telling speech came from the Prime Minister of low-lying Tuvalu, Kalseya Natano, who posed a series of bleak existential questions.
How strong will the next tropical cyclone be? How much longer can our island support our livelihoods? Is there even a future for our islands? With forced displacement due to climate change and sea level rise, what shall we do? And where should we go? What about our traditional culture and heritage? What will happen to us? What happens to our human rights? Will Tuvalu remain a member state of the UN if it is finally submerged? Who can help us? And will they help us? Mr. President, these are the valid but difficult moral and political questions we and millions of people in low-lying countries and coastal areas continue to grapple with. Consequently, these same difficult questions will be asked by those of us who remain ignorant of climate change. Until we have answers to these difficult questions, sustainable development for us will only be wishful thinking and a short-term goal running on borrowed time, not a reality we can accomplish. But hope is not all lost for Tuvalu. We will cope and adapt. Statelessness is not an option for Tuvalu, and I am sure it is also not an option for any of us here. The international community must now consider solutions to protect the rights of people affected by the impacts of climate change and to avoid chaotic responses to uncontrolled mass climate displacement.